on Toxic Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 27th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Josh. Josh Mendelson. How you doing, Josh?
Hi, Taryn. Hi, everyone. I'm doing great. Well, not so great because it is, unfortunately, Janelle Pierzina DeSanto's last day, hope most likely in the Big Brother house. So I'm mourning.
Yes. We're here to talk about everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 22 in the house, and it was Janelle's probably last full day of Big Brother on the live feeds. Unless she comes back again, even though she says she won't.
I know. And Taryn, honestly, I had this whole thing planned. I was like, if Janelle gets evicted, I'm going to come on today and wear a veil about her funeral. And then Brent beat me 2 days ago. So thanks, Brent. Appreciate it.
The veil was a little premature, I think.
I was like, today's the perfect day. I was going to do it. But, yeah. You know, things happen. So I figured I'd wear swallows.
Okay. Well, let's start talking about the day here. We're going to get into it. There's a lot to talk about today for the feeds. As you guys probably listened to yesterday, there was a big event that happened. A big David bomb was dropped. And he told Davon and Bailey that Tyler and Cody were the people that told him that Davon was trying to flip the vote against him last week. And they were like, oh my God, we can't trust Tyler and Cody. And it was like, what's going to happen? And so that's going to be dealt with today. There's a lot of campaigning that's going to happen today. And there's a lot of movement within the big group as to who the targets are in the following weeks and who is loyal to who and where those loyalties lie. So let's get into it all.
Let's do it.
We started the day with Day talking to Tyler. She went up to the HOH room and she was like, all right, Tyler, we gotta talk. And he was like, I got you covered. David came up here freaking out last night, said that he told you that I told him that you were trying to flip the vote. And I was like, what the hell, man? That's not even what happened.
I just don't get this David thing. First of all, what is he doing? Is he ordering at McDonald's? Is he planning a NASA space lift? Like, does he know he's even in this game right now? But, you know, Davon, I think she played it well. I think she did good for herself in that conversation, because I think she needs to backtrack now and let them think that they can trust her again, because they currently, I don't think, do that much.
Yeah. I saw a post on Reddit and I can't find it anymore, but it was so funny. They posted the clip from Nathan For You, which is a great show, where he does like a mock job interview, saying only what a 7-year-old is telling him to say via an earpiece. And they're like, this is David playing the game.
It's David playing the game. And when we get to it later, it's Cody during Janelle's campaign speech. The whole, that's the 12-year-old, 7-year-old love.
He's got a 12-year-old. Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. So Davon is talking to Tyler. Tyler's story is, look, no, this is what happened. I was hearing that from Kacer, from people talking to Kacer, that Kacer was going around saying that he had the votes locked, that he had Davon, you locked. And so I went to David just to say, like, hey, man, I'm hearing Davon is a lock from Kacer. Like, you should double check with her. David said, I don't believe that. I was like, that's cool. Like, it was just like a heads up, like double check. And it was before we even did our thing. Like, it was before we even made the Slick Six, let alone before, we made like our thing within the Slick Six. She is very on board. She believes this.
She does. And I think what Davon needs to do now is she's starting to think, hey, I need these people on my side. I need to start letting them think that they can trust me even more now. And I know she's been working with them, but I really think she's finding out, wait, David threw me under the bus. I'm screwed right now. So I need to let them think that they can fully trust me again, or clarify that I wasn't behind Nicole Anthony's boot. I wasn't trying to flip the vote last minute. I wasn't behind these things. So by agreeing, it was definitely to benefit her.
Mm-hmm. She also asks about Cody's involvement, and Tyler's like, what? Cody, what do you mean? Cody? What did Cody have to do with it? Which actually, he later talks to Cody. He's like, I'm actually really glad that I didn't know that you were involved, because it really worked for our stories. He was like, yeah, I didn't even realize that Cody was involved at all. She's like, okay, great. So Tyler does a great job here. He convinces Davon that he is basically completely innocent. He is lying a bit, and he's lying to everyone now. Like, he's saying this is what actually happened, is that I was only saying this, as opposed to Cody, who's going to be like, yeah, I lied. I prefer Tyler's approach, because it's a lot easier to not get caught when he just convinces everyone that this was actually what happened. But it was mostly what happened. Like, he was trying to tell, like, he did believe Day was flipping on David, and he was being like, you know, Day's snaking you, David. But it's very easy for him to, like, walk that back just a couple of steps and then just pretend that's the truth.
Yeah. And, you know, Tyler, of the more recent players, there hasn't been a lot of icons in the more recent seasons. Like, you had, like, Vanessa in season 17, but I really think Tyler is an icon. He really knows how to play that game. He really knows how to manipulate people. So he knows the right things to say. He knows the right time to plant little seeds here and there. So obviously, Tyler is, I think, playing a better game than, let's say, Cody, who is very emotional.
Can be. Yes. I will say, though, that I liked that Davon came to Tyler ultimately. Like, the fact checking can be very bad. And I do wonder if David would have said anything to Tyler at all if it hadn't been very clear that Davon was going to fact check. I think approaching him because David had already told him was the right thing to do. I wish that she would have longer conversations with people, though. Even like her conversation with Tyler about working together was much more brief than the one with Bailey. And the conversation she's having with Tyler about this is very brief. Like, she gets in and she gets out, and she's like, great conversation. But, like, people want to feel comforted. People want to feel like you stick around, you keep talking, you keep saying the same things over and over, you talk in circles, then you joke around a bit at the end, and you joke about stuff. Like, that's sort of like the life cycle of a conversation with somebody that you feel good about. Brief conversations tend to be an indication that somebody doesn't trust the other, right?
And then, honestly, but that's just Davon's thing. She goes in, she's almost like on autopilot when she talks to people. She's like, he and she and she and he. I think you guys were talking about that yesterday, but she does, he did she and she did he. And I want to get the point across. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, done. Cool. Like, it's, you're saying, where's the conversation? Come on, Davon, you can do this. You know, where is that?
So I didn't love that, but she does trust Tyler. Tyler does not quite trust her to trust him. So that's sort of where that has been left off. She then goes immediately to Cody, to make sure that they cannot coordinate their stories. And she asks Cody, hey, David told me this. What do you have to say about it? And Cody, who has not had any time to prepare, I was also very impressed by, he was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He comes up with, like, you know, again, mostly the truth, but then also some lies, about how David approached him yesterday. He was in the middle, and he was like, he was introducing as many details into the story as possible because he knows that like Davon will catch him on anything. So he's like repeating details like he was making broccoli. He approached me. People kept coming in to say, hey, your broccoli's cooking. And he was telling me about the vote. And he was worried because somebody was concerned about there being an all guys alliance. And I was like, who? And he was like, Davon. And so that piece of information is the thing that clicks for Davon of like, of course, David would say that because David is the one that told me that there's an all guys alliance. And so Davon also believes Cody.
Exactly. It just every time these conversations happen and like Davon's finding it out, David is causing me to have like panic attacks. Like, what is he doing? Like, I'm sitting there like, what is this guy doing? And I'm happy Davon's finding this out. And this is obviously what will follow her through the remainder of yesterday of all these conversations. But she's realizing like David's the Titanic. He hit the iceberg last year in season 21, and now we're just finding out it's a sinking ship, you know? And it's just, I think she played it right once finding out about all this information, and I think she handled herself well. I think she took a deep breath, put out her inner Danielle Reyes, came out for just a second, because most of the season it hasn't been out there, that good strategic side. Most of the side, she's just been in the mist, I think, but finally, she's starting to like get it and know what's going on. And I think part of these conversations were part of that.
Yeah, you know, I came into the season with very high expectations for Davon. Those expectations were not met. And so now I kind of have lower expectations for Davon. And this day, like, I kind of expected it to go worse than it did. It actually kind of went okay. And I still feel like she didn't play it perfectly, but I feel like she didn't, like, screw it up too bad. And that's good.
She did what now we know is, like, her best. I really think she did, like, her best. But
yes,
I'm on the same boat. I was so excited about Davon this season. I'm like, she's done the challenge. She was killing him in the challenges there. Like, I think she's come back ready and strong. And it's just like Davon's being like a mediocre player this season. Like, I think Bailey's doing a way better job than Davon, but maybe Dave will turn it around. It is only week 3, but it's not going well.
I mean, I do think that, and we'll talk about this as the day progresses, but I think that she is not in as much trouble as she was before. You know, last week I talked about the dilemma that Day and Bay are in the sense that like they're in this Slick Six alliance and they're working, you know, with Janelle and Kacer. And I said that they cannot straddle the middle. They need to just go all in on one of these sides. And basically over the course of this last week, they have been slowly committing fully to the Cody side. And that has helped them because the amount of people targeting them has gone down slightly, not entirely, but slightly. And the amount of people that feel it's necessary to target them has gone down slightly as well. So like the urgency is going away, and that's good for them because it gives them more time, more weeks to either fully ingratiate or fully pull out. So it's progress. But I don't know if it was fast enough. I don't know if they got the triage in time.
As Jenna Lewis said in Survivor Borneo, it's a little too little too late. I think that they're figuring it out a week too late. I really think Davon is going to greatly regret her move last week of deciding to vote out Nicole Anthony. And I think she's going to regret that very soon. And
I mean, I think she already does to a degree.
Like, but I mean, physically when she's on the block and
yeah,
being backdoored and going home soon, potentially. And I hope that's not the case. But with the way the season's going right now, I'm really hoping it doesn't happen, but it might happen.
Well, Janelle, Bailey, and Kacer are going to talk for a little bit. They talk about how Janelle in particular has been telling Kacer, if I go, better send Nicole out behind me. So they're talking about that with Bailey. And so Kacer's like, all right, but who do you put up next to Nicole? I feel like in order to send Nicole home, you'd have to put up David next to Nicole. And they're both like, no. No, you dummy. He's like, oh, Cody? Closer. What about Danny? Oh, okay. Yeah, we can do Danny. Danny and Nicole, that would work.
I was like, ding, 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 ding. Oh, Danny Donato, Briones, whatever. That's its own conversation right there. I had high hopes for her too this season. I haven't even gotten a shocker yet this season. I have not seen her go, shocker, where is Danny? Who is this Danny?
I feel like if she said shocker, it's ruining it. It's just, this Danny can't say shocker because then shocker will be ruined.
This Danny has been possessed by Nicole Franzel before the game started and has become like some sort of like fembot version of the Danny that we loved. Like, where is that Danny? This is not the same Danny. This is like a possessed exorcism. I think her head's going to spin. Is she going to puke green slime? Like, who is this person?
I mean, am I crazy? Is Danny even worse than Nicole this season?
100 billion percent. Like, what is going on with her? Like, she, her only strategy was just to target Janelle, which Janelle was a number for her. Janelle would have never targeted Danny. She's making some really sloppy moves, and I think it's going to come back to bite her very soon, especially with what happened in the house yesterday. So we will see, and I am waiting. I'm excited for Danny to get backdoored and not see it coming. I want it to happen.
And I mean, Danny could end up on the block next to Nicole if Kacer wins the HOH. I mean, those are his marching orders. Unfortunately, it is looking like it's going to be endurance. And I just don't see any scenario where Kacer wins any endurance, whether it's a wall or swingy things or wires or, you know, slip and slides. Like, I don't think Kacer wins any of them.
No, I don't think Kacer's going to win the challenge. It's not going to happen. Maybe Bailey. I would love Bailey to win. Like, let's go, girl. Like, let's do this. But I don't see Kacer winning. But also, who I think might win is Christmas. And don't get me wrong. Like, I do actually really appreciate her game. I think she's playing a great game. She's in one of the best positions in the house right now. But I don't want her to win because she's going to put up A and Day. And I don't want them up and out yet. I don't want it.
So that's the game plan for Kacer, and Bailey would love for Kacer to do that. She's not going to do it, but she'd love for Kacer to do it. And that would be a very interesting, Danny versus Nicole on the block would be fantastic. So give us a pressure cooker for the endurance competition.
Yes. Can we just have Bo like be on like a Zoom call getting drunk like he was the first time? Like, that pressure cooker is one of the best challenges ever. Ever.
I was getting bad flashbacks when Puya suggested this last week. But you know what? I'm okay with it. It's the only thing Kacer might have a chance of winning.
You know what? They're gonna, you know, hopefully production lords, come on, listen to us. Give us a pressure cooker, like just enhance it or something. Just even if Janelle gets evicted, like have her come back so she can win her Netflix screen and Bo can get his bar stool and get all the drunk he wants to get live on television.
Unfortunately, there's zero chance of the pressure cooker happening because guess what, guys? It's not physical enough.
Isn't old school anymore.
Yeah. Pressure cooker's too boring, guys. So Tyler and Cody kind of reconvene after being questioned by Day. David is dead to them. Dead to them. They cannot believe that David did this. And Cody also says, like, did you notice Day went to you and then came right to me? Like, she knew what she was doing. She did not trust us. She was trying to question us and making sure that we could not coordinate our stories.
They are just ready to be done with it. They're done. Davon is just... you know what? Door closed. On to the next one. Like, we're done here. Get him out of here. You know what? I'm not going to lie, Taryn. I'm kind of secretly, I'm very delusional with this upcoming eviction. I'm just hoping David just gets up and is like, I can't do this, and just walks out the door instead of the eviction happening. That's what I'm banking on, is him like, oh well, okay, bye guys, peace. Walking out.
Yeah. So Dayvon and Kevin talk. She's very frustrated with David because he's obviously a liar. She's also mad at Bailey. Why is she mad at Bailey, you ask? Well, she's still upset about Bailey telling Cody about the David showmance thing. And she, I think she's later going to question Bailey about, like, how much did you know about this David stuff beforehand? How much did you know about all these other things? She's still going to be questioning Bailey later in the night.
Oh, this showmance, let me tell you, this is just like the preschool showmance that just like isn't happening, but it's almost like being forced, or Dayvon feels like she needs to do a showmance with David. But David is just the most bland person on the planet. He's literally just like a teddy bear that, or not a teddy bear, something that's just the opposite. Teddy bears are great, but whatever. He just sits there like this and doesn't talk. That can't be a showmance. That can be a one man. That can be a Dayvon in a showmance with herself. That could work.
Yeah. I mean, it's very funny to me that it was like 5 days ago that Day was like, oh yeah, he's kind of cute. And now she's like, this guy needs to go.
This was like, what is that? What's that show? Is it where they were getting engaged? It was on Netflix. The one where they had to get engaged in like 24 hours.
Oh yeah. I know what you're talking about. I can't remember
that show. It's like that. She's like, okay, let's do this. Let's just do a showmance. I don't really know you that well. And then he's like, okay, cool. That's fine. Great. And she's like, never mind. Bye. Peace.
Yeah. So Bailey and Tyler are going to talk. He explains the whole situation to her. He says to Bailey, like, I don't mean for this to be like, offensive in any way, but like, this is what happened to you guys last season. When we were played, like, this is what happened in your alliance, is we would throw out nonsense and then you guys would like go at each other and you were just sitting ducks. And she's like, no. You're right. That's exactly what happened. And so he mentions that he's worried, like, is Day going to come for me now? Like, I don't want Day to come for me. I don't want that to be a thing. I don't want Cody to feel nervous about Day and feel like he has to come for her. And Bailey says, no, don't worry. Even if she doesn't trust you, I can help you out with her. I can try and calm her down, which I appreciated from Bailey. I thought she did a pretty good job here. But we are going to see from Tyler later in the day that despite it all, he still feels like there's not enough trust there with Dayvon for him to stick his neck out to protect her at the very least. He's not actively targeting her, but he is not going to. The day right before all of this happened, he was starting to be like, let's hold off on Dayvon. Let's focus on Kacer. Now that this has happened, he's more like, all right, well, if you are going after Dayvon, you got to put up Bailey next to her because I can't get in trouble.
Yeah, Tyler would let Dayvon go at this point, but you never know what will happen later down the line. I think Dayvon is making strides that are starting to kind of pick up the pieces from the ashes a little bit. So it just depends who wins HOH this week, what happens in the future. I think Bailey's playing a great game, honestly. I think Bailey has a good shot. There's only two girls that I think are playing good games right now, and it's Christmas and Bailey. That's it right now. And I think Bailey is working her way well. And I think we're going to see her survive through this game. I think she's going to do good. I think she's playing it well.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I think Bailey's biggest mistake, the things dragging Bailey down right now are, unfortunately, Dayvon. Yeah. Two is, unfortunately, she is vastly underestimating the pettiness of Nicole.
And Danny.
And the effectiveness of Nicole, because she pissed Nicole off. She did not try very hard to fix it. And now It's like a sickness. It's spreading. Nicole has spread it to Ian. Now Ian wants Bailey out. She's spread it to Christmas. Now Christmas wants Bailey out. Like mm-hmm. it spreads. She's trying to get it to Danny too. Danny's still focused on Day, but she's been really, Nicole's been working hard to get Bailey on her mind. So we got to watch out for Nicole. She's sneaky.
Nicole is a really good player. She really is. She, you know, she does deserve to be there as much as a lot of fans are not, well, there really aren't that many fans of Nicole's, but there are a few, I think. I mean, I do live in Michigan. She does live like, I think her and Victor, I think, live like 2 hours from me. So, hey, I'm going to head up to other
Watch
Michigan.
Out. Don't say anything bad about her here.
And Victor is a cop in the area. So I hope I don't get pulled over by Victor because we're going to have a conversation, people. Let's go.
That Josh guy, he's really mean.
He's horrible. I mean,
can
I would
you tell your friends to like do something about it?
I would probably talk to Victor in a Nicole voice. I'd be like, so Victor, I'm a fan of yours and Nicole's, but not really. But can I get invited to your wedding since you canceled Janelle's invitation, please? I hope so. No,
I feel like he might crash your wedding. I just...
It's funny. No, but back to Nicole. She's, I don't want to give her the credit, but I have to. She's playing a great game. She is. She knows how to play the game, Big Brother. She doesn't care what people think. I hope, no, she totally does. She's going to get out of here and she's going to be like, she's going to need a really, really good therapist after getting out of the house and seeing what the fans are saying. I really hope so.
I mean, but, I think like, she's used to it.
Oh, she probably, but yes, but she's playing good. She's playing well. And I think she could do very well too, because she has people on her side. Like people want to target Nicole, but she has too many numbers of people who really want to keep her. So like if you put Danny and Nicole up, I think Danny would go over Nicole.
I think it's very possible. Yeah. So that's going on. Tyler's going to talk with Danny. They talk about how Janelle is still leaving. And this is a conversation where Danny still says she wants Kacer out first, because of this duo thing. If Janelle comes back, she doesn't want them reuniting. But she's also still very set on Day going soon as well. And like I said, Tyler is no longer really, I mean, you can see him kind of like a little bit throwing out these lines of like providing opportunities for Danny to come up with other targets, other people. But she doesn't bite and he doesn't try very hard. And when it's clear that she wants to target Day and that she like, this is a thing that's happening, he shifts into, okay, if this is happening, then like it, they need, she needs to be on the block next to Bailey, because if you want Day to go, she can't be on the block next to anybody not in the Slick Six, or they will expect our votes and Bailey will be pissed off when we vote out Day. So Bailey would need to be on the block next to Day, and then we would be like, reluctantly, we have to vote out Davon and keep Bailey. That's the only way that we can do this and make it work.
Yeah, it is the only way for them to do it. So if you don't put both of them off, the other one could win veto the other one, and neither of them are going home. So that's what they have to do. Unfortunately, it's not what I want them to do, but you know.
Yeah. Danny is going to talk with Davon, where Davon mentions like she came into the game expecting to be gunning for Nicole. But she then got in here and she was like, you know what? Like, I have a good relationship with her. Like, I don't feel that way. Later in the night, Davon's going to say, look, you guys can go after Nicole if you want. I can't touch her. I can't go after Nicole at all, which again, just kind of speaks to the effectiveness of, Nicole's game. She's gunning for Bailey, and Bailey's, you know, partner in crime is not even willing to touch her.
Yeah. And you know, Nicole's doing the same thing. I've heard Nicole on the feeds be like, I can't go after Davon either. I can't do it. I have to stay true to it. I'm going to feel like it's a personal thing. And she knows if she screws Davon will take it personally because Nicole did it to her in 18. So it's mutual. I think they have like a mutual respect for each other. It's not an alliance, I don't think, but I mean, it could be, but like, I think it's more of just out of respect. They're staying true to each other right now in the way they can.
Yes. So Christmas is going to talk with Tyler. She talked to Nicole a little bit before this. Nicole is continuing to try to convince Christmas that Bailey is the person that should go instead of Devon. And she's making a lot of progress. So Christmas talks to Tyler and says, again, one of Bay or Day needs to go. That's what she wants to do. She wants to get rid of them. Tyler's like, okay, well, he talks about the importance of putting them both up on the block together. He can't explain it in the same way to Christmas that he does to Danny, because he doesn't tell Christmas that the Slick Six exists. But he basically says it's better for you, because if you only put one of them on the block, you're still pissing the other one off anyway. So you might as well put them both on the block to make sure that one of them goes home, and that you've only pissed off those two people instead of pissing off a third or a fourth person by putting extra people on the block. The argument makes sense to Christmas, and so she is now dead set on Bay and Day on the block together. Tyler does mention that he would want Bailey to stay if the two of them are up on the block together. That is an opinion that Christmas is quickly turning around on. Christmas also feels like she wants to keep Kacer around for a little while, a couple weeks at least, because she feels like she's developing a good relationship with him and can work on him. And so that's another reason why she's so dead set on Day and Bay, is that she's trying to get the target off of Kacer.
Yeah, she wants to work with Kacer. Didn't her and Memphis talk about it as well?
Agrees.
The two of them both kind of want to bring Kacer in. So that could be a three-person alliance that really starts to go somewhere. And I would be okay with that alliance. Maybe not, because I don't know if I like Memphis. I have some issues. But it would be fun because Kacer is in an alliance. But yeah, Christmas is playing a good game. She tells people a little bit of information. She kind of keeps her cards close. And I think it's really going to benefit her in this game. I was saying earlier, I think she's, of the girls, I think she's playing one of the best games right now.
Yeah, and honestly, it makes a lot of sense for her to do this. That a lot of people want Kacer gone, but she's doing something that kind of works for her game. Yeah. And even though Nicole is kind of the one pushing Bailey over Devon, taking out Bailey might actually be the better move. Bailey has a lot more connections. She's a much better player from what we've seen. And so if Bailey left and Devon stayed, that might actually work out for her. Bailey is also a lot more capable, I think, of retaliating against Christmas. She can continue to get in with Nicole. She's not going to lose Tyler. And she helps cripple the Slick Six Alliance, which is probably the biggest threat to her immediate game. And it makes a lot of sense in a lot of different ways.
She's sitting pretty with her 16 star babies.
Yeah.
Maybe she's like secretly talking strategy when the feeds go out to the star babies. Maybe they're like throwing out ideas of what she should do. Maybe they talk. I don't know.
Cody talks with Enzo and fills him in on all the David stuff. He talks also about how he feels like Danny, maybe she made up that whole Day is flipping on David stuff to begin with anyway, because Danny's the one that told him in the first place, and she's getting no heat for this. Maybe she lied about that. Like, Danny has been sketchy in the past. She goes around, she just plants seeds, and she just makes stuff up about people sometimes. Like, I tweeted this out that in the episode, we got this Danny mastermind edit where we saw a montage of her going around and like planting seeds against people. And it was literally like they watched that montage because they were like, she just goes around and plants seeds and she thinks she's getting away with it. But like, she told you this, right? And she told you this, right? And it's like, oh boy.
Danny's getting busted.
Yep.
And I'm enjoying every second of it.
I mean, Cody has always been a little bit skeptical of Danny from the very, very beginning. Before they were even in an alliance, he was talking about like she was a potential target for him in the first week. And then she approached him and she got into the alliance and she got in good. But he's always been a little bit skeptical. She's done things like tell him information, but not say where the source was from. And he doesn't like that. She likes to plant seeds. She likes to, like, I talked about this the other day when she was like, what's your eviction order? And he was like, oh, wow, what do you mean eviction order? And then she kept going and going and going until finally she was like, Tyler, how do you feel about Tyler? When should we evict Tyler? And he like doesn't like to contribute to those conversations. And so I think that he is feeling very like she's screwing me up. And so from now on, they say anytime we get any information from Danny, we're fact checking or we're just making sure to take a note of the fact that this info came from Danny. Approach it with caution.
And honestly, Tyler was the one that was in. Saw right through Danny first. He was one of the first ones. He's like, no, she's not playing me. I know she's a master manipulator. And it's like, hey, she's a vegan. So she's like into the gardening thing. So that's why she likes to plant seeds so much. That's like how she does it. She just likes to work people on the end. She kind of is playing like a Derek game, but like a sloppy version of it.
Well, see, I feel like she's and Andy talked about this, that that he was told that she really studied his game and she's she took a lot of cues from him, which I see a lot. Like I really do feel like she's playing an Andy game, a rat floater game. Mm-hmm. The problem is she's not as skilled as Andy was. It's a very, I talked about this on the floater. I did a floater podcast in the off season.
Yeah.
It's a very, very difficult game to pull off. And I don't think that she is skilled enough to pull it off.
Yeah. She's really good friends with Andy, right? Cause he's been posting a lot of tweets about their friendship. And by the way, Andy deserves a lot more credit than he gets. He's a great winner. Andy played an amazing game. Unfortunately, it was in a season that was overshadowed for reasons that have nothing to do with him. And I feel that's unfair to him. So Andy, if you're watching this, I give you a lot of credit. You're awesome. But I think that Danny also, I think he gave her advice. She must have sat down on a Zoom call with him and he must have given her, this is what you do. But she maybe took half the notes. Maybe she's like, maybe I'm going to make it my own or something, like make the script my own. And it's just her own isn't working.
Yeah. I mean, so like Cody says that when he asked Danny, like, you came and told me that they came up to you to flip the votes, right? And she was like, what? No, I didn't say that exactly. And he was like, what do you mean you did? And then when Tyler comes in to talk to them, he's like, so where did you hear this information? Tyler's like, Danny. It's like, And she told you, right? And he's like, yeah, I just checked with her. And she said, yes, that's what I said. Oh my God. Like this, like, what is she doing? And then they would talk to Enzo keeps talking about like, Enzo really fixates on, like little things like, with the have nots. He's like, yeah, she told me to pick Davon for a have not. But like, I already said I was going to do that. I don't even really fully follow what Enzo's complaint is.
You know what? Enzo's complaint yesterday, this is my impression of Enzo yesterday. He's like, okay, we need to go back to Danny. We can't trust her. Chicken palm.
Yes.
Like, he really wanted to eat. So I think he was hangry when he was having these conversations yesterday, like super wanting that chicken parmesan, like really bad. I'm on keto. I can't eat it. So like, I'm not even wanting it that bad.
Yeah. You know? They're talking about Danny. And Enzo brings up the have not situation. He's upset about that. And then he's like, oh yeah, yeah. And she says, you gotta watch out for those people that they walk into rooms all the time. They're all in every room. And Cody's like, that's Danny. That's her. She does that. And so they're very, very on to this Danny thing. And Enzo says like, yeah. She's gotta go, bro. She's gotta go. Not later either. He's next 2 or 3 weeks. I'll backdoor. Done.
Let's see him actually do that. I'm just saying that is Enzo is all the talk and no walk. That's how Enzo. I mean, he did fill up the hinky vote at Nicole last week, but Enzo doesn't really win competitions.
So, I mean, he's won two so far.
I mean, yeah, he did with you. But like, I just don't see him winning an HOH and backdooring Danny. Nor do I see Cody doing it, honestly. I think Cody and Danny have like this platonic crush on each other. So because they're both married or a spouse or whatever, but you know.
Well, see, I keep seeing people say that, but I don't think Cody likes Danny all that much. I think Cody is like he's very good at faking it.
You know what? When push comes to shove, let's see what happens, because I don't know where it's going to go. I know he's losing trust in Danny. He definitely has, but I still think he has a soft spot for her. I really do at the end of the day. I don't see him backdooring her.
I feel like it's the opposite. I feel like he kind of feels like she's good for his game and that he can trust her in the game, but he doesn't like her very much and is inclined to not trust her very much, like on the sort of more personal level.
See, I could see him voting her out. I don't know if I could see him flat out putting her on.
Oh, no, he won't. And we'll talk about that right here. Yeah. That Tyler, or maybe just in a sec. So Cody and Enzo still in the have not room. They reaffirm their final two. It's them two. Enzo also likes Bailey a lot. He feels like let's bring her far. He likes Tyler a lot. He says like he's the kind of guy he'll split us up, but we can take him to the four. And he also likes Christmas a lot. Feels like Christmas is very valuable. I it really feels like Enzo's ideal like 4 to 5, you know, final group would be himself, Cody, Tyler, Bailey, and perhaps Christmas as well.
I would really like that. I think that's a good group of five. I think it's a group to root for. So I would love that to happen. Will it happen is a different story, but let's cross our fingers and hope Enzo can actually bring something together, because I would be down.com.
Yeah. So Tyler comes in, they talk more about Danny. So in the have not room, the door to the have not room is like a little like a vent, like doggy door thing, as people, you know, it was locked, and Julie was kidding. But we talked about this before. The production comes in and out of that hallway like all the time, and so they need to like lock that door sometimes, and there's also like just a lot of noises. And they talk about this, Cody's like, dude, last season, Mickey, he was in that hallway and he overheard a conversation, screwed them all over. So they're super paranoid talking at all in this have not room, that somebody might be in the hallway. And so Tyler, who's very paranoid about people overhearing his conversations, when he's in the HOH room, he checks the bathroom every time, doesn't want to get Kevin Martin'd. And we know that Tyler has his own experience with eavesdropping, as he was hiding behind the bed in Sam's HOH one time, and then famously poked his head up. And that was very fun. But Tyler's very paranoid about people overhearing things. And so he's constantly checking the door to make sure that there's nobody in the hallway. And anytime they hear any noise, Enzo's go-to conversation changer is, so I'm thinking about that chicken palm.
Chicken palm, let's go.
Chicken palm.
Go, bro, let's get that chicken palm on. I'm going to go downstairs and make me that chicken palm for me. That's all I want. Oh, they're gone. Okay, let's back to Danny. Yo, we got to do it. Wait, what's that? Chicken palm, man. It's going to be so good.
Yeah. Because it's the have nots get to eat at midnight. And so they're talking about like the food that they're going to make. So like throughout all of these conversations, they're just like, they're like, yeah. So Danny told me chicken palm. Yeah. We got to get that chicken palm. Okay. But I don't like Nicole either. I don't think we got to do anything with her. But we got that chicken palm. Yeah, the chicken palm. I got that chicken palm. I'm going to make that chicken palm. It's good.
You know what? I'm going to back to a eggplant parmesan, and I'm bringing in chicken palm. That's what I want.
Yeah. So then Tyler and Cody talk, and basically they're like, look, we have these two main alliances, the committee and the Slick Six. We're going to be loyal to all of our people. If we ever win an HOH, we're not ever going to be the ones to come for any of our people. If we win HOH, we're focusing on the people on the outside. We're going to, you know, Kaser, David, whoever, those are going to be the people that we focus on. And then, you know, if the people in our alliance, true alliances, want to target each other, fine. But they're not going to be the ones to do it. They're not going to do anybody's dirty work in that regard. So that is their game plan. Tyler is not going to be nominating anybody from either group. Cody is not going to be nominating anybody from either group. But if Enzo wants to backdoor Danny, or if Christmas wants to go after Devon and Bailey, hands off the let it happen, as long as they can keep their hands clean.
Exactly. You know, that's their goal right now, is to kind of play it safe and just let kind of the two, they kind of want to let the girls take each other out right now. That's what they want to do. And just sit back, let it happen, let the female massacre happen, and then just stand.
You got that chicken palm, yo? Hey, I'm going to make that chicken palm.
Where's that chicken palm? Wait. Okay. They're gone. We're good. Wait, okay. Go look. No, hold on. Okay. Coast is clear. That was my, I'm not gonna lie, that was the best part of yesterday. That was like my moment. Enzo actually is entertaining me a lot. I do love him. I really hope he makes it far, because he's like 24-hour like Jersey Shore entertainment. I love.
Mm-hmm. The thing about Enzo, like he's not very involved in the minutia of the gameplay. Like, he really relies on other people to run the game. And he really, like we talked about this in the preseason, he is the hype man. Like, in any group of any group conversation, he's always like, this is the group, yo. We're so set. That's it, yo. We got this. We're so locked in. They don't even know. They don't even have a chance.
He's playing one of the best games because no one wants to target him. He's on no one's minds right now. And that is great gameplay. That's how I'd want to play, honestly, is the funny one that just no one takes. I mean, they kind of take him seriously, but like, they don't, and he actually is serious, and the right people take him serious. So good job, Enzo.
Bailey and Devon are going to talk about the David situation. Talks about Tyler and Cody's explanations. She says, I believe them. I think they're telling the truth. I trust them. You know what? You know, it makes sense too, because it makes sense that David would tell Cody about me being concerned about a boys alliance. He was the one that told me about a boys alliance. And you know what? I haven't even said anything about it. I've been holding that card, and I've got that. I could destroy him, but I haven't. And you know what else? He's not even in a boys alliance. It's not even real.
David is in alliance with he himself and the wind. Maybe he's still in alliance with Nicole Anthony. Maybe he forgot that she was voted out last week. David is doo-doo-doo. Like, he does not, did he sign up for the right show? Does he think he's doing like the circle? I think he'd do well in the circle. He doesn't have to really talk. He can just text. Perfect. I think that is the right show for David. He should not.
You just text so many ellipses, like just like well,
can you imagine being in a conversation with David on the circle? Okay, wait, you be person, I'll be David. Ready?
Okay. Hey David, what's up?
Dot dot dot. Hey.
Oh. How's it going, man?
Dot dot dot. Okay. Dot dot dot.
Are you feeling okay?
Dot dot dot. Yeah, I guess, bro.
Great talking to you, David.
Cool.
David would be the guy. He would, like, you'd see the three dots come up, and then they'd go away, and then they'd come up again, and then they'd go away, and then like that. 10 minutes later you'd get like a sentence, because he's finally figured out what it is he wanted to say.
Yeah, or exactly. Oh, it's a travesty, Dave. Okay, look, I get why he was put on the show. I get he should not be there. He shouldn't be there. He doesn't deserve to be there. I really don't think so. And he's not proving himself. He's like, he needs to go. Like, production just needs to put him in the DR and just take him out. Dude, you're low in our ratings. get him out of here. Just go.
David, please go to the diary room downstairs.
Wait, what's the diary room?
All right, David, don't even sit down.
Wait, what?
We saw the conversation where you said that that your new nickname for Kaser was KZ and
KZ with Z's not in his name. Oh, but I still want to call.
Don't even sit down. We got a door right here. Yeah, it's the other door.
Okay, bro. Bye. Cool. Great. Cool. Chicken palm. Chicken. No, I'm joking.
Devon says, look, Bailey, for the first time, like, ever, I feel like I'm in a good spot. I'm just like, oh, Devon.
Lord, what is she doing?
No.
<It's> illusion.
Oh, man. And, like, that's the, she just wants to be in a good spot. And so she, like, investigates and investigates and investigates until she finally feels comfortable. But in the process of investigating, she has turned off all of her allies. And now she's not in a good place.
Devon has slowly been tanking her game. It kind of went like this. Week one, week two, week three. So this is, it's like here right now. So she has a long climb. She needs to climb Mount Everest now, and she needs to take her time to, well, she really can't take her time. She needs to climb Mount Everest overnight. So good luck, babe.
Yeah. But she also questions Bailey about, like, hey, were you holding that David stuff back from me? How long was he telling you these things? How long did you know about all of this? Bailey's like, well, no. I didn't know anything about this. This is not on me. If anything, it seems like Devon is skeptical of Bailey more than some of the people she should be skeptical of. Danny and Cody are going to talk. Danny says, all right,
here we go.
I've got an idea. Do you like to play risky or do you like to play it safe? I can see in Danny's head. She's like, I'm going to set it up so that the lame option seems like the one, like the not doing it seems lame. Like, do you like to play it safe?
Yeah.
Do you like to have some fun with the game?
I mean, he does come from Big Brother 16, so we knew the answer before it happened. Okay?
I was like, who do you think you're talking to?
He is of Derek. So if this was Handmaid's Tale, he'd be of Derek. So, I mean, we know what's happening. Come on.
Yeah, she says, and he's like, what do you mean? What are you asking me to do? She's like, no, just tell me. Do you like to play it safe or do you want to have some fun and take some risks? He's like, just tell me. She's like, oh, okay.
Okay.
What if we, the two of us, voted to keep Janelle to set up Devon and Bailey, set them up, be like, oh, they like set them up so that they voted that way. Cody's like, no way. I'm not doing that.
Well, let's go to another plan. Let's keep going.
It's like, what? Come on. That's so annoying. Cody, come on. Why not? It's like, there's no point. What do you mean? Why would we do that?
Does this even make sense for Danny's game? She's been trashing Janelle to like below deck all season so far for the first 3 weeks. And then all of a sudden she wants to throw a hinky vote at Janelle. Like, do they have a secret alliance we don't know about? Is there going to be some last minute scrambling for Danny to save Janelle? Is there stuff we don't know? But yeah,
like,
I don't get it.
Does she think that, like, if she votes for Janelle, then, like, outside of the house, she can be like, see, Janelle, I stuck. You know what? They made a preseason deal that they would never nominate each other or vote for each other.
Well, you know, when Janelle gets out of that house and she sees all the things that Danny said, hopefully there's a buyback so she doesn't see it. But hopefully it might be tomorrow when she sees these videos. I don't think that friendship's going to be there anymore. And I think that we're going to be having a long conversation between Dick and Janelle on the phone.
I feel like this really might be that she feels like I'm sticking to the agreement on a technicality that I'm not nominating her and I'm not voting to evict her. That might be part of the inspiration for this. Of course, I think she also wants to set up Devon and Bailey. She wants them to be targeted next. Very annoyingly feels like that by setting them up that they will like start to freak out and put bigger targets on their back.
Yep. It's basically where it's going is, you know, she is setting it up and I think that's smart. It's some like good Danny moves, but I don't know if that was a good move because Cody's already on to her right now. Cody and Enzo just had that conversation. We don't trust Danny. And now she's throwing this out. That just brings up his radar even more by doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was a smart move, but we'll see what happens, Danny.
Yeah. Danny also seems to have moved slightly away from targeting Tyler. The new person that has been on her lips has actually been Ian. She's bringing up to Nicole that like, hey, Ian's got to go eventually. And she's a little bit less concerned about Tyler. She talks to Cody later in the day and she says, you know what? I feel like Tyler trusts me a lot. I think he really trusts me. And Cody's sitting there like, yeah.
Amazing. Well, I can tell you, I actually think targeting Ian would benefit her game right now. We haven't even mentioned Ian yet today. Not one time. That says a lot about his game. He knows.
Well, it's mostly out of disappointment.
Yeah, but you know, he knows how to sneak through and work with the right people. He knows how to play the game well. Regardless, he has not been mentioned, so it would be smart for her to find out, you know, Ian is my biggest target right now because Nicole is the person that I think that she wants to work with. Her, Nicole and Cody are the two I think that she wants to work with right now. Mm-hmm. So Ian could come in between that, so it could be smart for her. But
I'm going to disagree with that. I think that Tyler is a much better target for Danny. I think Tyler is way more dangerous to Danny's game. He's on to Danny and wants her out. And in addition to that, Nicole is probably, in fact, not even probably, is definitely her best ally. And mm-hmm. Ian is literally just an extension of Nicole. She's convinced him to go after Bailey, which doesn't even make any sense, really, or doesn't make that much sense for his game. So I think that Ian is actually one of Danny's most valuable pieces on the board. She just doesn't know it.
Yeah, because she could be in that three-person alliance with her, Nicole, and Ian, and they would all work together. And that's probably the two people that you're right, I guess, thinking about it, because those are the two people who I think really would have her back right now, because people are starting to turn on her without her knowing about it, but those two won't turn on her.
Yeah.
So that could really benefit her. So she shouldn't be targeting him. You're right to think about it a little bit.
And I think the thing about like Danny targeting people too, is that like, she's not always targeting people right away. She is just kind of like planting seeds for the future, but it like Enzo says it best, like, hey, that's a long time away from now. Things change in this game. It's a long game. Like you don't need to plant seeds for week seven in week, you know, three. It's too far away. The game is going to be completely different by then. So all you're doing is opening yourself up to getting exposed for basically no reward.
For sure. In this game, it's different from Survivor. Survivor, it's you can play seven rounds ahead. But for Big Brother, it reshuffles every round. Someone different, who anyone could win. David could win HOH next round. I really hope not. But anyone could win, you know? So you can't think too far ahead. I mean, you could back in the day, like back in like Big Brother 2, Big Brother 3, like the old school seasons, you could. But now they've added so many things and made it impossible to really strategize well ahead.
I think a good rule of thumb for Big Brother is that unless you plan on targeting someone within the next 2, maximum 3 weeks, don't say their name. Don't talk about targeting them. Don't try to set it up for 4 weeks plus. That's too long in the future. You can set it up for next week or the week after. If you're stretching it 3 weeks, or if you get unlucky with HOHs, maybe 3 weeks. But really, if anything, by talking about targeting somebody 4 weeks in advance or longer, you're kind of inoculating them. Your target, you're helping, you're like injecting little bits of let's target this person until they've been vaccinated. They now are immune to being targeted because people are used to hearing this like little bit of it here and there in the future. Now, when the big one comes, it's like, I don't know, we've already talked about that. We have to move on. That's old news. That's old strategy to target that person. This is the new threat. It makes them seem less threatening when everybody's talking about targeting them down the line. And so the people that haven't been talked about become more threatening.
I can see that. And it's not necessarily the smartest way to do it. Be like, I'm going to give an example like, hey, let's target Davon 4 weeks out or something. That's not what's happening. But like, let's do that. If they say that, people are going to be like, OK, well, she'll be later. OK, we'll deal with this person now. Or that's kind of what they're doing, I think, with like Ian. I feel like people are like, let's get Ian out. He can't make it to he needs to go first at jury. He needs to go first at jury. We're not at jury yet. It's not there yet. There's still 2 or 3 more weeks until jury. So it's not really smart because he can just sit there pretty and be just win HOH, you know, and he can target them. What happens if it gets back to that person by that time? Now you're a target for putting their name out in the future.
Mm-hmm. So Enzo is going to talk with Bailey a bit. He wouldn't mind keeping Janelle at all. In fact, he kind of wants Janelle to stay because Janelle goes after Nicole and David and they can go. He's on board, and Bailey is now in the Janelle position where like she's getting a little bit of hope, but it's false hope and it's just going to ruin her game to try and push it. Which is what happened to Janelle in both of the first 2 weeks. And so she's like, oh, Enzo's on board. Like maybe I can make this happen. He also talks some shade on Danny, Cody is then going to talk with Chris. And there's a lot of campaigning happening throughout the day that's sort of making this happen. Janelle is going around to everyone, to Cody, to Danny, to Tyler, to Enzo, back to Cody, back to Tyler, back to Danny. And she's pushing as hard as she can. Cody, I think one of Cody's biggest strengths in the game, or at least a big strength of Cody's in the game, is his ability to just talk and not say anything for hours. It's annoying to watch, but it's very effective.
He knows how to lie. He does. He knows how to just like kind of change the subject a little bit. Like, yeah, like when Janelle was talking to him and she was campaigning, which I'm sure we're getting into that, but he was just like, yeah, you know, it's good. And then he knows how to like change the subject. Well, I'm excited for dinner coming up. Like he knows how to like change that kind of thing.
And he'll like talk, like he'll shift into like meta commentary on the social state of the house and who's talking to who and why and what it's like to be on the block and campaign. And he gets it and he wants to be there for her. Like he can like just dig into like if the surface level of the conversation is campaigning, he can dig down below that level and then talk freely about a sort of more meta version. And then if that gets stale, he can go deeper and he can just keep talking and not actually say anything. And at the same time, he's joking and him and Janelle are laughing and they're having a good time and he's being super friendly and she's coming away from the conversation like he's a cool guy. He's a nice guy.
Oh, is it bad, Taryn? I was having, and we've been talking about a couple of these scenes that happened last night. I had so much hope that like there was like little sparks here that maybe they're going to turn. Maybe they're going to flip the vote. Maybe it's going to happen. Like there was a scene where it was Enzo and Cody, and Enzo's like, hey, how about we do it? Think we flip the vote? Cody shuts it down. And then there's little conversations. I was thinking during the conversation with Janelle and Cody that, hey, maybe she's getting to him. Maybe a piece of it realizes she's better for his game. And she is better for his game. It is a smarter move. And it was hard to watch last night. It was hard because I know it's not happening. And there was just little sparks here and there. Like, it's like, is Enzo want to flip the vote? Is Enzo trying to do it? Is he trying to go for it? And nothing happened.
Yeah. Well, Cody talks to Christmas, and Christmas says that she doesn't buy the argument that they need to target Kacer next because there might be a buyback. She says, actually, it's the opposite. If there's a buyback, we should continue to target pairs because, or if we're worried about there being a buyback, we should continue to target pairs because, yes, basically saying that we should put up Bailey and Davon because if we get rid of this other pair, then only one pair can come back and be a pair again. Whereas if we get out Kacer, then okay, that pair is completely gone, but now we still have a pair to deal with in the game. And if there's not a buyback, then we've split up both pairs if we take out both pairs. So it's actually a very convincing logical argument from Christmas. And she talks more about how she is now leaning more toward Bailey going before Davon. Again, Nicole has been doing some good work shifting that target.
Now, do you think, my question on that is, if Bailey and Davon were on the block, Taryn, who do you think would go of the two of them?
I mean, that's the question, right? Tyler, Cody, Enzo all would want Bailey to stay for sure. But Kevin, Nicole, and Christmas as the HOH would be pushing for Davon to stay. Danny is still leaning toward Davon leaving, but could be swayed the other way if Nicole can get her way. Ian would definitely be on board to get rid of Bailey. So it would be a very close vote.
That might be a vote that could split the house, though. That could be like a vote that gives us some entertainment because it's going to be who campaigns better, which side wants to keep the right person. So I think as much of like we don't want another woman leaving, four in a row would just be horrible. It might give us something like the unknown here. You know, we don't know what will happen.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Davon and Bailey talk some more. They talk about how Kacer is going to put up Danny and Nicole, and that if one of them comes off, then he might put up somebody like Cody. Either way, they get rid of Nicole, hopefully. Neither of them can do that, but if he does it, that would be great. Day says now that she's got beef, she can do that. Meaning David. Bay says her original plan was to nominate Ian and Nicole, but now she is reconsidering because she thinks that Nicole sitting next to anybody but the people they're working with would mean that Nicole stays, which is true. Nicole will not go home against anybody except for somebody from the Slick Six. So that is definitely a tricky situation for her if she wants to get Nicole out. She doesn't end up ever saying what her actual plan is, though.
And we have no idea. I do think Nicole on this end is in a kind of a good spot because there is no one like that she really could go home against. It's apart from like you're saying with like Tyler or like the big names, but no one's going to put up those guys. It's not going to happen. So people are all going to go into next week, the ones that want to target Nicole and put her up and expect her to go. And she's just not going to go. And they're going to waste their HOH completely.
Mm-hmm. So they want to run and grab Cody and Enzo, the connect, because they feel like, hey, let's get one more push in to try and save Janelle. And again, it's like, oh, Bailey, they like you. Don't push it. It's not going to happen. It's a dead vote. Don't Janelle this. But they talk about the vote. Cody says, look, Janelle she doesn't give me any information. She keeps saying like, people said this, people said that. She won't tell me who. And she, you know, she talks about like the other side, and like, if she's talking about side, like, we know what that means. Like, I am the other side. So he's just not really for it. But Bay says, well, look, she's coming for David and Nicole, whereas Kacer may come for you. And Cody says, yeah, but Nicole and Danny are dead set on Janelle, and they would take it personally if we flipped on that. And Bay's like, I don't mean to offend, but why do we care what Nicole thinks? She's not in the alliance. And he's like, yeah, but we don't want to set off alarms. Like, if we piss off Nicole, then she might start working against us. She might start to see that something is wrong, that we're not working in her best interest. It's better to just keep things calm. And Bay's like, I don't know. She's only ever said she's coming for Nicole. So if she goes for Nicole, like, that's good for us. And Cody says, sure, but Nicole's only one person. Let's say Janelle takes out Nicole. What next? Who's she going to go after that? And she's like, well, at least she can't win HOH back to back. She takes out Nicole, we take her out. It's like, but I mean, we're just leaving in, a bomb ready to go off. Like, we have to get her out the next week when we have her right now. This goes back and forth. There's more talk about Nicole. Bailey continues to talk about being worried about her. She says, I'm just worried that, Nicole's not going to come after you guys at all. Nicole's going to come after me at, like, Final Seven. And Enzo's like, whoa. It's just way too far down the line to be thinking about that. Things change in this game. Devon is like, okay, Cody, what's the order? What's the order of evictions? And Cody's like, I don't know, Kacer and David, but like beyond that, like, I don't know. And Enzo's like, it's not about order. It's about who wins HOH, yo. Things change, yo.
Little do they know the plan is some people want to backdoor them next week. There you go.
Yeah. Day's like, I just wanted to make sure David is up there because he's messing up my game. So I'm glad that you're talking about David as a potential target. And this is when Day says that she knows Nicole has to go at some point, but she cannot be the one to do it.
Exactly. And I was saying earlier that, you know, they have this like unspoken little bond from season 18 where they can't do it to each other, but this is them kind of, I guess, misting Bailey and Devon, not letting them know hey, you can trust us. We're good. We're going to miss you, and not let you know that all the other girls want to target you next week and are rising the crusade to come after you. So they don't need to know that, but we'll tell you guys what you want to hear kind of thing.
Yeah. And Cody does have the better argument here. I really do, like, for as theoretically good, as it would be to keep like a big target in the house at like Janelle, Janelle is consistently the one getting in Kacer's head about targeting the group, the big group, going for the jugular. And she is consistently the one that continues to try to convince Kacer that Tyler and Cody are together. Don't trust them. She's going after Nicole, but she's doing it for admittedly like petty reasons. And if she actually got power, would she actually go for Nicole? Probably. But would she stop at Nicole? Definitely not. And she would go after Cody and Tyler. I fully believe it. And she's just, she's detrimental to their games in that way. And, leaving her in the game, gives more power to Bailey and Devon, which doesn't just flat out doesn't make a lot of sense for Cody. So it's a good rebuttal to the problem. But Bailey was pushing hard.
She was pushing hard on it. I think she really wants Janelle to stay because they've made a bond. And I don't know. I kind of have a different opinion on you than you, because I feel like the boys, the Enzos, the Tylers, the Codys, I don't think Janelle's coming for them anytime soon. She's been talking vocally to Kacer on the feed that she wants to target the floaters. She doesn't want to come after them yet. So she wants to come after them after jury hits, and that they could already get rid of her by then. You know,
I mean, I see, like, I'd first, like, when she was talking about targeting the floaters, I was kind of like, okay, it might make sense to keep Janelle around. But she, I feel like she's shifted from that. Like, she doesn't think Nicole is a floater. She thinks Nicole is in the core group. And when Kacer talked about nominating a floater, she was like, no, you idiot. You have to, you have to nominate the people from the core group. And so I just feel like, okay, she gets out Nicole. What is she going to do next? Is she really going to then shift her entire focus onto like all of the floaters and let this core group continue to build power?
I get your point, though, because she's not going to I don't think she's going to target Memphis because she's not onto Memphis yet at all. She thinks she can trust Memphis somewhat, even though he's not working with her. She still feels like he won't come after her. She's not going to come after Bay and Day. Like, maybe she didn't like Kevin and David, but like if they're with Bay and Day, you're right. Like, they could at least David, maybe she'd target David and Nicole. She's not going to target Danny. So you're right. Maybe she would come after the boys.
Yeah. And it's like, okay, she gets out Nicole. Now you need to target her before she targets you. Because if you target David or Kevin first, then now you've done her work for her. Now she can only come after you. So you have to go after her. And then she wins a veto. And now she's really gunning for you. And now you've got to deal with that. And Bay and Day are not going to do the work for you. They're not going to go after her. So now you've got this big headache left in the game. And you could have just taken her out, you know? So
I can understand that. And I'm such a big fan of Janelle. Like, I'm a huge Janelle fan. So it's like, I want her to stay just because I love the show. And she basically is like the Boston Rob of Big Brother. And I just want her to get her win. But you're right. For the game, it's not necessarily smart if she stays. Unless there's a twist, Taryn, because everybody wants a twist.
I don't know about everybody.
Oh, do you not want a twist?
When do I want twists?
I want a twist. I want that room. I've read some conspiracy theories on Reddit the safety suite is going to be a house. And she just goes to the house next door or something. We all want it.
I'll say this. The only time I was ever happy about a buyback was when Kacer came back into the house in season 6. I if there's any time for somebody to come back in the house, Janelle staying in there, I would personally be okay with it. I feel like the people who want it most are the people that are going to be the most disappointed because they're the ones that are going to have to live through this week over again. Right. And so that's my hesitancy is that for me, people have been so negative this week. It's just been like, oh, it's been a slog to try and get through. And so like for me, with having to deal with the fan base being so negative again is like annoying, but I personally would enjoy Janelle staying on my screen.
Hey, there you go. But I mean, we know that Keisha and Nicole A have gone home. So if they are doing it, if they are doing something, it would be something that starts this week. So yeah. We'll see. I'm hoping, but I'm not confident.
Yeah. So Cody and Enzo are going to talk after their talk with Bay and Day. They talk about how they can't keep Janelle. Nicole would go nuts on them. And that's another part of it, too, that I didn't even mention with keeping Janelle. That, like, the argument that Nicole will be pissed off is totally true. Like, Nicole will lose a lot of trust in them if they keep around Janelle, because it's obvious what the point of keeping Janelle is. The point of keeping Janelle is, oh, she goes after Nicole. So Nicole is going to start to work against you at that point. She's not going to feel comfortable with you anymore. And that's a big blow to your game. She knows a lot of dirt. So that's another reason why it really doesn't. And like, I get it, especially from the fan point of view. Like, why do you care about Nicole? Cause she's a player in the game that has a lot of information. She's very capable and you don't want to piss her off for negligible, you know, upsides. So Cody talks about how Day, he was like, oh, yeah, I said the right thing today about David because she wants me to put up David because she's worried about this guys alliance. And so I'll put up David if it helps prove there's no guys alliance. Like, I'm down. They talk about how Christmas is going to nominate Davon and Bailey. Enzo's like, that's our pit bull, yo. She's got us.
She's going to be in my chicken palm. I can't drop it. I'm sorry. It's going to stick with me the whole season.
The chicken palm. They're still pissed off about Danny. Enzo thinks that Tyler would be down to backdoor her. And Cody says, look, the only thing about Danny is that she does trust us a lot, which is good. But we can't trust her. And so I think this came after his conversation with Danny, when Danny was talking about Tyler and how much she thinks that he trusts her, and like that she's kind of like chilled on wanting to target Tyler. I think Cody correctly sees that while he can't trust Danny, she trusts him. And I know that this might sound backwards, but this is how it works in the Big Brother house. Somebody trusting you is more trustworthy than you trusting somebody. You can trust somebody that trusts you more than you can trust somebody that you trust. If that makes sense. Does that make sense?
I had to tie it a little bit.
Right? Like that, and that's the problem that Day and Bay have run into in the past, is that Cody trusted Devon a lot. Devon did not trust Cody. When that became clear, the situation reversed, and Cody now doesn't trust Devon only because she doesn't trust him.
Exactly.
Somebody that trusts you is the most valuable thing that you can have in the game.
Exactly.
And if you just trust somebody else, then you're trusting that they trust you, and you're trusting that they're going to do what's good for you. Whereas if somebody trusts you and you don't care about them or you don't trust them, you are in control of that relationship. They trust you, and you can influence them, and they're not going to turn on you.
It's kind of like, I guess, Danny with Nicole and Ian, or maybe Nicole with Ian on somewhat. Maybe I'm adding, because Ian trusts Nicole, and I think Ian trusts Danny as well. But she has to be aware of the fact he trusts her. And I don't think she realizes how much of a factor he is to her game. So that is kind of, is that like maybe an example of what you're talking about?
Yeah. I mean, like, I think that like the Danny situation is perfect. Like Cody doesn't trust Danny to not go around and do things that might hurt his game, that might hurt other people's games. But he doesn't trust her. But as long as he knows that he can't trust her and she trusts him, it's not really worth taking her out. She's still valuable to him in the game. Whereas if he felt like, I really like Danny and I can trust her a lot, but she doesn't trust me, he would need to target her.
Exactly. But she still trusts him, so he wants to keep her in the game.
Exactly.
No question. If someone is still an asset to you, if they trust you, you don't want to vote them out, because that's a number for you. That is someone that can help. It's almost like, I wonder how Tyler would be if David was on the block, because Tyler knows David actually trusts him. I think the only person David actually, I think, somewhat trusts is Tyler, because Tyler kind of has taken him under his wing.
Well, I think that knowledge has I think Tyler now is like, I don't know if this guy trusts me, because Tyler feels like, would David have told me anything if I hadn't caught him?
Yeah. So. I'm just trying to say, maybe like grasping at straws. I don't think anyone really trusts David in the house right now. Then no one.
No.
He's like in his own little island by himself, and people don't want to work with him.
Yeah.
So it's like,
and worse than nobody trusting him is that nobody feels like he trusts them.
No one knows where he stands, and he's not letting anyone know where he stands, which is really bad gameplay. Mm-hmm. Even if he let one person in, he has let no one in on him, where he stands. We don't even know where he stands as an audience and feed watchers.
Yeah. Tyler did, when he talked to David, he was like, hey, like, I fixed this, but like, you gotta chill. And he was kind of like, he was like, okay, we're going to use this now. We're going to pretend that we're dead to each other, but we're still cool. But Tyler's not looking out for David anymore. Like he'll keep David there, and he'll make sure David thinks that Tyler still trusts. Because again, Tyler understands that the important thing is not that he trusts David or that David trusts Tyler, but the important thing is that Tyler pretends that he still trusts David.
Exactly.
As long as David thinks that Tyler trusts him, Tyler's fine. Tyler's good.
Exactly. And I think that's a smart move on Tyler, because I think it's almost like, I don't know, it's a little bit, David's kind of like a Sam from season 20, but Sam was, I think, a better game player. I think everyone's a better, Chicken George was a better game player than him, but it kind of is similar to Sam. Do you get like Sam BB20 vibes from David?
Yeah,
a little bit?
We talked about this the other day. He's like Sam plus Caitlin plus Vanessa from Big Brother Canada 8.
That's a good one. Let's see him try and put a puzzle together.
Cody and Enzo are talking so Cody says Danny trusts us a lot, which is good, but we can't trust her. Cody also lets Enzo know about Four Prime. He says we don't really need to worry about Ian, we've got him covered in this four person thing. And they are annoyed that Bailey is trying to flip the votes. Cody says choose your battles. This is not a winnable battle. And that's what we need to do, Enzo. We need to choose our battles too. It's not worth fighting over things that you can't win. You need to be able to pivot. And you know, it's what makes Cody good at this game.
Yeah. Cody did learn from one of the greats of Big Brother. He learned from his pal Derek, and you know, he's gonna play well because of that. I do think he's more emotional than Derek. He definitely is a Robin, and I think this cast has a lot of Robins in it and no Batmans. So it's just a bunch of Robins running amok looking for their Batman. And it's just like, I don't know, it's good gameplay, but it's just, he's kind of emotional. And I think that is the one thing that could work against Cody, is he doesn't have Derek this season being like, dude, chill out. You gotta go this way, you know? So
yeah. Bailey, Devon, and Christmas are going to talk a bit about David, and Christmas is going to start roasting him for not watching any episodes. These quotes have been going around all day so far.
It's a mess. what like, has he even seen his season? Like, does he seen like four episodes of the show? I don't think he even knows what HOH stands for. Like,
yeah,
like.
Christmas is not a fan of that. Then finally, Devon and Bailey talk a bit about the conversation they had. They're annoyed that Cody is considering Nicole's feelings on the vote, and they're very sketched out about it. They think, unfortunately for them, they're like, Enzo is blind to it. Oh, man, he's not seeing it. Oh man, Enzo needs to stop saying stuff about Danny in front of Cody. Cody's going to get mad at him.
Oh, Enzo is a character with this situation.
This is a problem, right? And it's the same problem that the Janelle and Kacer had in the first couple of weeks, where because Enzo is willing to keep Janelle, they feel like he must not be on that side.
Exactly. And he's really good at missing people. He's really good at it. Like, some people in the house don't realize how close he is to other people in the house. They don't know how close he is to Tyler. They don't know how close he is to, some of them don't know how close he is to like Danny or Nicole. Like, some people do, but like, some people aren't as on to Enzo. They think he's just sitting there having fun going with the flow. They don't realize that he is a big person in the game, which they're foolish, because this is what he did in season 12. They should have watched his season, seen how he played the game.
Yeah.
He's playing the same game.
And that's the thing too. We're like, and it's a little understandable from their perspective, because they feel like they're in the alliance with Enzo, and that's why he feels comfortable. But anybody who's not in an alliance with Enzo, who is watching Enzo in the house, should know that Enzo is in some kind of brigade alliance, because
he created it.
Enzo is not going to be like, just like, he played his entire game the first time in a four person alliance doing exactly what he's doing, just hanging out and pretending at summer camp. If you're seeing Enzo hanging out and pretending at summer camp, then he's in a brigade alliance. That's it. If he's not in a brigade alliance, he's going to be worried. He's going to be like looking for a brigade alliance, but he's not. So he is.
I don't know. If I was on an all-star season and it was almost week four of the game and someone looked at me and says, I don't know what I'm doing, I don't really talk to a lot of people, come on. Come on. It's an all-star season. Like this is ridiculous, people. Come on. We need some better gameplay here.
Yeah. So Bailey and Devon talk about, they think they're back to this like sort of four person thing. Cody, Tyler, Nicole, Danny. And Day says maybe Tyler's Cody's Derek, and maybe whoever stays out of Danny and Nicole will be his Victoria.
I'd rather have Victoria here than Nicole Franzl, honestly, but that's just me.
Yeah, I don't think it's the right comparison, but they're back to sort of like keeping an eye out, which is good. As long as they don't show it, as long as they don't showcase that they're skeptical, I want them to be skeptical, but I don't want them to show that they're skeptical. Right.
Yeah. Then keep it between them, you know.
And if I had to choose for Davon and Bailey, if I had to choose, either they're blindly loyal or they are skeptical and everybody sees it, I would prefer that they're blindly loyal, because that's going to be a safer place for them. Mm-hmm. Ideally, they're not blindly loyal. They're skeptical, but pretend to be blindly loyal. That's the sweet spot. But they have not really showcased a great skill at managing that. So it worries me every time I hear them talking about being skeptical.
Yeah, because Davon wears her emotions on her sleeve. She can't hide that. If she's on to you, you know, she can't, she's not a good liar. She's not good at it. Like, if she is on to you, you're going to know based on the conversation she's having, because she's getting down to business in the conversation. She knows how to do that. But that's why I'm like, I agree with you. I wish that they were blindly low and didn't know what was going on, because as soon they stop drinking the Kool-Aid and start, you know what I mean? Like the cult Kool-Aid, the second they stop doing it and they're on to them, everyone's going to know. Everyone in the house.
We'll see. We'll see. They've done a good job this week so far. So hopefully we can make it through. And I think that Bailey has a lot of outs too. If Davon does go, I think that Bailey has a deep run ahead of her. That's very possible. But she'll need to be able to get through the next couple of weeks without jeopardizing that. So.
I potentially, if Davon goes early-ish, I could see Bailey potentially winning the game. I could too.
I think, I mean, when we look at that group of five that Enzo really likes, you know, I really feel like Bailey is a top contender there. She's probably not going to be able to like beat, you know, Tyler and Cody, at like these super physical competitions that are in the end game. But because of that, I think that Tyler and Cody will be gunning for each other. Christmas too, will be like all three of them will be like at each other's throats, because they're the big physical competitors. And then they'll be looking to take somebody like Enzo or Bailey to the end where they could easily win.
Exactly. I think anything can happen, but I like that group of five. So I hope something forms. I hope the right person wins HOH this next week that could form that group, because I think that group could be unstoppable if they get together.
Yeah. Not to mention the fact that Tyler can't evict Bailey.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think she's safe there.
I think in order for it to work, I think Memphis needs to go as well for that alliance to work. Christmas in Memphis.
Yeah, I mean, the Christmas thing is interesting to me. Her relationship with Tyler, her relationship with Nicole. I think that Christmas, when we saw Christmas and Tyler working together, we felt like it was Tyler and Casey. And maybe like I also looked at it like Christmas found her Paul. But I think that Christmas is trying to be the Paul. Mm-hmm. She is, like, if you remember in season 19, Paul had little pockets of people, and he was the middleman. He said, yeah. Hey, Christmas, you and Josh stay here. I'm going to go deal with these people. I'm going to keep you safe with these people. I'm going to put my neck out on the line to do that. And what really he was doing was keeping himself safe in the middle of everyone. And he was the middleman for everyone. And I think that what Christmas is doing now is that she is trying to be that middle person. She is trying to be the person who's got Nicole, who's got Enzo, who's got Memphis, and she's locked in with Tyler. And so I think she's trying to replicate that game.
As long as there's no Raven on this season, I'm good. Okay. I can't do any more Raven. Oh, you know what? I'm getting my friend a Raven cameo. Let's go.
Let's go.
Karen, I should have gotten you a Raven cameo to start the show today.
I'm disappointed you didn't.
You know what? I just had a lot of ideas. Just didn't come through. Sorry.
Huh. All right. Well, that's what we have for you from today. Unless there's anything else you wanted to bring up.
No, you know what? I'm the most delusional person on the planet saying it. I am hoping that there is some twist tonight. Hope the people watching are on the same boat as me. hoping there's a battle back or something, or something in that room where Janelle can go and be saved by production. Let's come on, Janelle, stay tonight. But most likely going home. Rest in peace, Janelle.
Yes. All right. That's what we have for you. I will be back on Twitch in just a few hours. If you want to find me there, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong to talk about the Stockwatch. Josh.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say you can find me on Twitter at Mendels8. That's MENDELS8. Mendels8 on Twitter.
There you go. But yes, you can find me on Twitch later today. I'm going to talk through all of the possibilities for next week, how that relates to the Stockwatch, answer any questions you have for the Stockwatch if you're playing, and give advice for what to do, maybe where my head is at. So you can find me there again, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Hit that follow button so you'll be notified when I go live, probably sometime around 3 o'clock. But we'll see. That's Eastern. And then, of course, later tonight, there will be an eviction episode, and we will be live after the episode to recap what happens. We'll have a new evicted person, and not a new HOH, because it'll probably be Endurance. But the feeds will be on for the Endurance, hopefully, and that will be interesting. And if the feeds are still up after the podcast, then for the Endurance, then I'll probably be on Twitch again to watch the competition and to talk about the new HOH and everything there. So check all of that out. And of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And you can find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaryn. Thanks for joining us.
Bye, guys.
See you next time.